Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Happy Party Friday. The Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up. I'm Julie Hayden. That's Tiger there in the back. Chuck is making his way down here to a world headquarters for the Chuck and Julie Show. All kinds of stuff to talk about again today. Michael Bennett formally announcing for governor. Shocking. There's great progress to report in the lawsuit that Colorado Republican Party has filed against the Kooster Rhinos. And then on top of that, we wanted to start off today, though, with Wes Eimer. And so, Wes, go ahead and unmute yourself and you can bring yourself on up. But wanted to talk to you because, once again, Britta Horn and the Unity Party.
Another unifying move.
I mean, being a rhino never means you never have to say you're being divisive, I guess, or something like that. But Wes, we've had it to show numerous times. You're extremely active in politics.
I've been since
since you were 12. You were on the Republican Party Youth Advisory Committee. You've been involved in all kinds of stuff. But apparently the rhinos don't like that. Why don't you tell us what happened?
Yeah, so about a few weeks ago, Christy Fedora, our Republican National Committee woman, posted on a Facebook group called Colorado Republican Meetup, posting that she spoke with the RNC and that the Youth Advisory Council was not an active organization in the RNC and hadn't been for over a year. She posted this targeting me because I am a member, right?
Right.
And Hope Shepelman came into my aid and I responded as well and said, "You're right. We haven't met in over a year. I've been trying to get the RNC to have a meeting of the council and do X, Y, and Z." And I explained my position. And Hope came in and commented and said, so if they're not an active organization, why are Brylan Hollihan and CJ Pearson, the two co-chairs of the council, consistently on TV identifying as co-chairs of the Republican National Committee Youth Advisory Council? We kind of called Christy out. And then I put a comment and I said, look, I said, bottom line is you're not liked at the RNC. I've had conversations with the leadership and members of the 168. You're not liked. Randy Corcoran called you out at the winter meeting for your participation in the coup against Dave Williams and said how disappointed he was that an RNC committee woman would participate, so on and so forth. So that happens back in February. Okay. On Monday, I received a official cease and desist letter in my email from the Republican National Committee Council office, which is their general counsel, informing me that I was never a member of the RNC Youth Advisory Council, that I did not have approval to fundraise to cover my travel cost to the meetings, which, mind you, I'd been doing for 2 years, not a secret, with RNC staff being aware of it, including up to the political director and members of the RNC, the committee, with no issue, and that I didn't have permission to use the GOP logo or the title, and that I was never a member of the council.
Well, that's just not true.
It's not true. I have documentation proving my placement on the RNC Youth Advisory Team in spring of 2023. And I have an email chain with Elliot Eccles. I have emails in my inbox from Ronna McDaniel containing agendas of the meetings with my bio attached as a member. I have all of these things. I flew to DC for meetings of the council. I went into RNC HQ, met with the head of the National Field Program and the political director to craft a youth voter outreach plan, which they implemented and we won on in 2024. You know, all of these things. So I have all of this corroborating evidence that I was who I said I was. I also had proof that this was not a secret, that I've been fundraising and selling I'm voting for the felon shirts and all sorts of stuff to cover my cost to travel. I mean, I have a 70,000 person email list. It wasn't a secret.
Right.
And now the council's office sends me the cease and desist letter. And I can tell you that it came from Christy Fedora because she complained to the RNC about my activity. And then coincidentally, about a week and a half, 2 weeks after Britta Horn becomes the chair of the party, I get this cease and desist letter.
It's like, well, and I mean, let me, so many questions here. I'm assuming you've done something to respond back to them and said, hey guy, I am a
Hey.
member of the Youth Advisory Committee. I mean,
Whatever that may be.
whatever that may be. I mean, I'm assuming you've responded, right?
Yes, I spoke with Randy Corcoran, who is our national committee man, who was responsible for getting me on this council in the first place.
Yeah.
And you know, he was the one that introduced me to it and introduced me to the political director and said, "Hey, I have this great kid. You need to put him on the council." And I got put on the council. So I spoke with Randy earlier this week, and we issued a response from me. I CC'd Randy on it, and I said, "You know, look, council's office, like I've CC'd Randy, who coincidentally is our committee man and my attorney, and I've received your email, I've received your letter, but none of this is factual. Here is evidence that I am who I say I am. I also had authorization to do X, Y, and Z from the RNC staff members. And I also said, you know, that I hope this issue can be resolved swiftly and amicably, and that I can further explain things. Legal action is not necessary. It could have been resolved with a little bit of due diligence if they would have simply asked the chief of staff, the political director, or the chairman himself of the RNC. They would have said, yeah, Weston's who he says he is, and he's fine. They didn't need to send me a cease and desist letter. So all I can gather here is that Britta and Christie called the RNC legal office, and legal said, well, this is a problem. Didn't bother to check with any of the staff and just sent this cease and desist off and expected me to just roll over.
Well, and again, this is another example of Britta Horn thinking she can just wave her magic wand and the world turns into whatever her little, rhino self thinks it is. Well, I mean, this is outrageous on so many levels. Number one, like you, it reminds me of when Christy Burton Brown tried to sue Peg Cage for my Colorado GOP, saying she couldn't use the word GOP or whatever it was, right? I mean, it was ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
Since they didn't have a trademark or anything on Colorado GOP, they had one on Colorado Republican Party, but they forgot to check that the bylaws and everything else only referred to the name Colorado Republican
Well, they were
Party.
just being bullies. And it sounds like that's what's happening here. These rhinos, besides being weasels, are also bullies. It's like they just don't like grassroots people and they want to pick off any grassroots person they want
While they're unifying us.
while they're unified. Yeah, and all in an effort
By
to unify us.
genociding
The
the
general
grassroots.
counsel lying to them and then having them, I mean, shame on them for not checking their facts. But it's like, of all the things, we've got a governor's race, we've got school board races, of all the things that Britta Horn and Christy Fedora should be worrying about, you saying you're on the Youth Advisory Committee when you're
Yeah.
offering
Just
yourself.
all famous. Yeah.
Yeah,
I
I
mean,
mean,
the other thing that I, you know, look at here is their focus should be on beating Michael Bennett, beating Phil Weiser, beating Jenna Griswold, and focusing on winning elections because that's what they ran on, right? And they ran on this unity, right? Well, I'm sorry. How is going after one of your leading Gen Z conservative voices in the state of Colorado unification in any way, shape, or form? I have not publicly come out on the attack against Britta Horn. Or, you know, Christie in recent months, Christie, until today, right? Because this behavior is just despicable. I mean, I can't tell you how many comments I see from these rhino haters on Facebook that say, oh, Weston's irrelevant. He doesn't have any influence. He doesn't have any impact. He's just irrelevant. Well, if I'm so
Well,
irrelevant,
that's not,
well.
wait a minute, I just want to correct him. That's not true, because I was talking to Richard Holtorf, your friend,
Oh,
and
yes.
he accused you of being behind Rhino Watch. And if you're
Well.
behind Rhino Watch, it means you're pretty damn powerful.
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, that's the thing. If Richard can't get it through his head that I'm not Rhino Watch, no one will.
Well, we know whoever's behind Rhino Watch. You know, if you were behind Rhino Watch, would you admit it? No, of course not. So they figured, see, that proves it. He's behind Ron a watch. Because if he wasn't behind Ron a watch, he wouldn't say it.
Yeah. But it's still.
So let's just face it. You're behind Ron a watch, and you might as well accept it.
At this point, I guess I should just start owning it and just being like,
yes,
you know,
yes, exactly.
The whole thing that's funny to me is they made a meme of us last week. They made
I
it. Was
saw that.
I like that one.
That's Williams, you, Julie, me, the Rhino Watch, Rhino Hunters on a witch hunt. Well, I'm sorry. If we're Rhino Hunters, why are we on a witch hunt? We would be on a Rhino Hunt.
Rhino
what about all the other people? They forgot all the people like Ash Epp, who was on Rhino Watch. There's a half dozen or more, a dozen people who all contribute to Rhino Watch. But at any rate, it doesn't matter.
This is interesting from Jacob. He says, I think if someone sends you a cease and desist order on a bogus issue in the U.S. mail, and you use the U.S. mail, that could be mail fraud.
Mail fraud item.
Another, but
call Pam Bondi.
Go back. But I want to say something, because here's actually why, Wes, is you are clearly not irrelevant. And I mean, you haven't been irrelevant since you were 12 years old. I mean, in Colorado politics, right? And
for
I think
better or for worse.
You
not
are.
My own horn, but you're exactly right. I'm not a
I mean, yeah. I mean, and that's why they're going after you. Like I said, they want to pick off any grassroots person that they think they could pick off in the interest of unity. Again, their idea of unity is they attack you, and if you say anything to defend yourself or set the record straight, you're being divisive. And it's so petty that, I mean, of all the things that they should be spending the time on, and we'll be talking about the lawsuit because there's been some major developments on that, but it's like to go after you. I mean, you are one of the leading spokesperson voices for Gen Z, right? You do, and here's the other
one
thing.
One of the few, tell you the truth.
They would be screwed without people like you and Cody LeBlanc, because none of them know how to do the technology, right?
Yeah, so exactly. Well, if I can, I'll add this to your point there. What they should have done, instead of calling RNC legal, convincing legal that I'm in the wrong, and trying to get me axed, what should have happened is on day one, Murdo Horn should have picked up the phone, called me, and said, you were part of the RNC's youth team in 2024. You were involved in delivering Gen Z men and majority of Gen Z for Donald Trump in the 2024 election. How did you do it? Will you help us? That should have been the conversation. But instead, they chose to go after one of their not supporters who openly supported Lori Sane and openly worked for her. They went after me because I am such a threat to them that they can't handle it. Because the reality is I have been around the RNC for 3.5 years, both as staff for the Colorado GOP under Dave Williams, an RNC council member, and I also had traveled to meetings with Randy when my mom was running for Congress to try and drum up some fundraising support and get resources, right? So I have known these members of the RNC and the 168 for going on 4 or 5 years now. I have those established relationships. They have my back. I have theirs. They really think they can take me down in my own backyard? No.
And to your bigger point, why would they even want to take you down? Why would they, number one, bother with all the things that are going on? And number two, why would they, as you pointed out, not enlist your help? Why would they? Well, and I'm going to point out another reason, too. I think your mom is another powerful, Laurel Eimer, powerful political voice. She was elected to be on the executive committee. Right. Yep. Which is so, I mean, I'm sure they want to do stuff to get rid of her too, because she's going to be, they want to do everything they can to destroy anyone who is grassroots, and they don't,
exactly.
That nothing is off limits to them. I believe, I mean, I've seen some of the shady stuff that has happened and personal attacks and things like that. And it's not unifying. They are flunking the unity scorecard.
They are flunking the unity scorecard in grandiose fashion. And I can explain why they did this, right? I have some inside baseball information that no one knows about because it got pretty tightly held. Okay. I don't even know the full extent of it. But evidently, sometime last year, under the leadership of Jack Gilmartin and Lacey Williams at the Colorado Young Republicans, they censured me for quote unquote immoral behavior. Don't know what that means. Censured me without my knowledge. I'm not even a member of the Colorado Young Republicans. Half of the state YR chapters, including CU Boulder, their Boulder County chapter, boycotted the meeting and refused to attend because of what they were doing and how shady it was. Come to find out, Jack and Lacey and the YR team were jealous of me for getting the RNC council seat and not one of them, since they were the Colorado YRs, right? So they censured me in an effort to try and get me canned. Well, it didn't go anywhere. Never anything happened. I still don't even, I don't even have a copy of the censure, so I can't even tell you what it's about. But it happened, right? Who was a key endorser for Britta Horn in her chair race? The Colorado Young Republicans. Who embraced Christy Fedora with open arms after she won, even though Gen Z and including the entire Boulder County YR team was backing my mother, Laurel Eimer? The Colorado YRs. So I can tell you, this came from the YRs. They wanted me out. They influenced Britta and Christy to get me out of the RNC so
that
someone else from Colorado could take that spot because they felt they deserved it more. And X, Y, and Z. Now, none of us like Jared Polis, but I have to put this out there because it's true. Jared Polis invited me to be his plus one at Trump's inauguration. There you go. There's the sign to back it up. That was on my seat in Statuary Hall. So what I can tell you is when Jared Polis and I had a conversation about why he picked me to go to the inauguration with him, he said, "You are one of the strongest, loudest, most dedicated Trump and America First supporters in this state." He goes, "And you have been for 10 years. He goes, "And I can't think of anyone more deserving than you to get the seat." He's like, "Rose Puglisi, Paul Lundeen, Dave Williams, none of them have reached your caliber of involvement and activism." So I have a question for all of these Colorado Republicans and all these rhinos. Why is it that Jared Polis, who just signed the most restrictive gun law in the country into law yesterday, saw the talent and experience and dedication in me that the rhinos refused to see, right? How, why does it take a Democrat to see that? That's what
mind-boggles me. Rhinos work because the only thing the rhinos care about is power, and they want power and influence and money, right? Yes. And so if somebody else has influence, rather than saying, "Hey, let's work together, let's take your influence, my influence, combine them," you know what I mean, and create something better, they're like, "No, we need to take your influence, squash it. We don't care if we have to lie, cheat, or steal to do so. We will do it." And I think the reason they don't like people like you and people like us is because we push back.
Well, they like me.
Well, they like, they love Chuck. Is we push back. And you know, you didn't quietly say, "Oh, a cease and desist letter. I better put, you know, do
well,
it."
What are they going to do?
Yeah.
Sue you in Colorado for
all my money I don't have. I mean, that was my thought. Is it's like, I haven't changed anything on my public facing stuff. I haven't changed my bio. I haven't changed the logo on my website. I haven't done anything yet because I want to resolve this. And I'm not going to change it until it is resolved. And the other factor here is if they really want to sue me, I got news for them. I got a Roth IRA that has maybe 7,000 in it, and my checking account has 2,000 in it. You can come at me, but you can't get blood from a turnip here. I am not made of money. I don't have a sugar daddy or a trust fund, or I don't come from daddy or mommy's money. I live off of my own work at my company, right? So I don't, and even those clients, I don't charge enough to survive on because I don't believe in making money off of this. I believe in helping. Right. And being of service to people. Dave Williams didn't pay me a dime except for reimbursement for travel costs the entire time I worked at the state party.
Well, and here's the thing is, you know, again, hopefully the general counsel, who now really clearly has mud on his face. Right. I mean, it looks like a fool for sending you this letter.
Who's
without
the general counsel.
I'll get the name. Keep talking, Julie.
Okay. I mean, this person has mud on their face too. And so hopefully this person will now say to Christy Fedora, "You know, I'll call you next time if I have any questions. Don't you call me." Because, I mean, they're embarrassed, right? Or they should be embarrassed, right, for sending you this letter. And then you say, I actually am a member of the Youth Advisory Council. Now, if they haven't, and like you said, and then Hope pointed out, what do they mean they haven't been doing anything? Maybe they haven't had a meeting, but clearly no one disbanded it. And clearly no one sent you anything saying, you know, we're making new members or electing new members. So hopefully whoever the council is, and we'll let you get his name here or her name, we'll tell Christy, you know, don't get your facts straight.
Yeah. His name is John Hammond. I knew it, but I couldn't remember off the top of my head. But he's general counsel. He took over at the winter meeting, which, or actually he was Yeah, winter meeting was when he took over, because we had a new election of officers at that meeting. We elected a new co-chair in Casey Crosby. We elected a new treasurer and a new general counsel. And John Hammond is our new one. And I have not spoken to John. I haven't called him. I don't have a prior, you know, strong relationship with him like I have the past counsels, which was Michael Whatley, our new chair, the general counsel before he became chair. And I haven't contacted the chairman either, because the reality is this is childish politics that our state chair and national committee woman were so immature that they believed that they needed to elevate this to the RNC and make it Whatley's problem. I got news for you. He's got bigger fights to worry about than petty politics in Colorado. So this shows their childish behavior, right? And I am not about to call the chairman directly, which I could. He's told me I can call him anytime. I'm not about to call him and be like, hey, Mike, what the heck is going on here? Will you fix this? Because I shouldn't have to bother the chairman with this.
No, it's just stupid. And it's Charlene points out, and this is true, it's just more lawfare to silence mega voices.
To unify the party.
To unify the party.
You know, I really want some pizza after this conversation. That's
oh,
all
yeah,
I
no, no pizza for you. No pizza for you. You're at grassroots.
Free pizza for a year for anybody.
except for grassroots people. No pizza for them. Hey, listen, Russ, thank you for coming on. And I'm sorry again that you've had to go through this. Keep us posted on what happens, because when they send you the apology letter, we want to put that on the show too.
And I hope they do send me an apology letter, but I'm also not holding my breath. But I will keep you guys informed. And for those of you watching, if this upset you as greatly as it has upset all of us in the MAGA and conservative movement, then you need to come support our PAC. Come support Team Imer. We are trying to push back in this fight, but we can't do it without your help. So just a little plug for you. Come help us out at Team Imer PAC. Thank you, Chuck and Julie.
Well, you can send us some money for the ad later on, but don't worry.
I don't have any money to give. They just cut off my fundraising stream.
Thank you, Wes, and good
Take
luck
care,
with
Wes.
This.
Thanks, good. Have a happy party Friday.
You too. Yeah, once again, Chuck, Rhino Unity at its best. This is another, the Rhino Watch is doing the Unity Scorecard. I say they flunked the Unity Scorecard here.
Well, I love the kind of rise and fall of Chrissy Fedora. So Chrissy Fedora came into the meeting 2 years ago. She's running against Weston's mom,
Laurel,
and she gave, you know, she kind of did this cherubic kind of very friendly face and hi everybody, and you know, we just won in Pueblo and I was responsible for it and how's everybody doing and big smile, and now she comes out with the fangs for the last 6 months. You know.
Well, and again, it's sort of like, and we'll talk about the lawsuit, that it's like these people, it's just so typical what Weston was talking about, if you've missed our previous show, the pizza. So right after she won the election a couple weekends ago, Britta Horn goes to the microphone. Everybody's still meeting because other voting is going on, and announces free pizza for everybody. One of her donors was providing pizza.
Well, sure, I want to have everybody, you know, Dave graciously said, yeah, you want to make an announcement, that'd be fine. You know?
Yeah, yielded the microphone to her and tell everyone to get a free pizza. Only it turns out.
Well, they didn't tell the Weld County bullies that that was the rule. And so anybody to go up there, they demand to know who they voted for. And they didn't, if they didn't vote
for Britta,
they chased them away. And if they weren't looking and you got a piece of pizza, they'd hunt you down and demand.
So there's a Unity scorecard again. They're flunking the Unity scorecard. It's like, of all the things that they have to worry about, and it's not even true. That's it's outrageous enough that they're bothering to, with all the things going on, to be saying, well, Wes Heimer shouldn't get to call himself an RNC Youth Advisory Committee member. Like, ooh,
you know,
yeah,
the power he must have.
And then it's not even true. And he is a Youth Advisory Committee member.
At least to the extent still exists.
Right, exactly. So but that's typical what's going on. Well, then let's update you. This, I'm trying to, on the lawsuit. So the Colorado.
Which lawsuit?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. The Colorado Republican Party, before, when Dave was still chair, initiated a lawsuit against Todd Watkins, Nancy Pelosi, Britta Horn, the Coosters, the people who orchestrated the
Coosters.
coup, saying that their actions cost the party $100,000 and did all kinds of damage and hurt candidacy, et cetera, et cetera. And they filed a lawsuit against them seeking to get it back. Keeping in mind that Britta Horn and her attorney, she neglected to respond in time. So she's now potentially on the hook for a default judgment for the full $100,000 in her attorneys. So fast forward. So that lawsuit still exists. Fast forward, Britta now becomes the chair, and she is trying to do everything she can to make as we keep saying, wave her magic wand and make the lawsuit go away. She's doing everything she can, except actually following the rules and the law. I mean, minor
And
details
she's got a
there.
problem. Her attorney, which she actually spent hundreds of thousands on spurious lawsuits when she was Weld County Commissioner, has asserted that he represents both the plaintiff and the defendant. So he'll get up, sit at one table during a trial, and give the say, "Okay, let's hear from the defendant."
I mean,
And
so
he'll look at.
he's claiming, so Britta hired him, Steve Klenda, to represent the party. So he's a new lawyer representing the party, okay? But he's also defending her in the party's lawsuit against her, which you can't do that. You can't do that.
Yeah, you can. You get up and sit at the plaintiff's table and say, "This is why," and then you go, "Okay, now can we hear from the defendants?" And you get over to the other side. "Hi again. This is why
Dr. Donna's right. Kindergarten musical chairs,
they're..."
right?
Yeah.
Well, so what happened in the meantime is Britta Horn, her attorney, has filed ludicrous, a weird motion to try to make it all go away, which you just can't do. And
Well,
then
you can
in
try.
the meantime, the Anti-Corruption Investigative Committee that Dave Williams and the Central Executive Committee, the State Executive Committee, formed back months ago to investigate the Coosters and to see, what actually was going on there. That committee has filed a motion to begin, I guess, what, how would you call it? Intervene in the lawsuit, to
Right.
join the
Join the
lawsuit,
lawsuit.
right? Because Britta's now trying to get rid of it. So she's trying to make this whole problem and
And her liability
her
and her attorney's potential liability and malpractice suit against him.
right, go away, right? So they all, Britta and her attorney have $100,000 worth of
A lot more
reasons,
than 100,000.
to make this lawsuit go away. Forget about trying to get to the bottom of things. Forget about recovering the money that's owed to the party, right? This is the Unity Party again.
Why
Well,
don't we just call it the Unity Party?
we'll just go. What happened is
The
today,
GOP, the Unity
the
Party.
Unity Party, the what happened today was that judge. So the Anti-Corruption Investigative Committee filed a motion saying that Britta Horn's attorney, he has to recuse himself. He can't represent
Both
both
the
the
defendant.
defendant and the plaintiff in the case. And the judge said, "That's interesting," and granted the motion to, well,
Te
to
technically,
accept it.
technically the clerk accepted
Okay.
it.
So what's that mean? So you explain what that means then.
Well, in order to file for something, you've got to, you can't just, if you want to get into the Dobbs decision, or you want to get something else, you have to have, of course, permission to do that. You just can't file whatever you want and whatever. "Hey, by the way, I'm Joe Blow, and I'd like to file for a motion in my first cousin's divorce proceeding. Here you go." Well, then there's no you since you're not attorney of record, there's no way to put that one. And so the clerk, with all likelihood, after consulting with the judge, said,
Right.
"Yeah, you can."
Yeah. So exactly, because so technically at this point the Anti-Corruption Investigative Committee is not officially a party to the case.
But they have filed a motion, and the court said, "Yeah, that's okay. We'll hear the motion,
Well,
or at
the
least, well, you can file it. What we do after that, who knows?"
right. So that is, well, and this is, and again, you're the lawyer, but
Well,
my exactly, but I've covered a lot of lawyers.
I sit, I get on the phone, and Julie's usually at the kitchen table doing what God knows what,
Watching stuff
and
online.
I'm talking to Dave. And I might as well be. I mean, God, it's just, I got a jailhouse lawyer and I got a kitchen lawyer. And they go, "No, I would file a Rule 225 B5 in this case, and I would augment it by a certification." And
I think I know a little bit here about this. So covered a ton of stuff where
you have.
people file motions all the time.
You've been in more courtrooms for more cases than Most attorneys.
And I've seen this happen, particularly in weird jailhouse. You're using jailhouse lawyers, but people who are inmates sometimes will just file motions, file motions, file
Right,
motions
right.
all over the case, right? And it's not at all uncommon when it gets to be a little bit out of hand for the judge to say, stop, you can't file motions anymore, right?
Right.
And the judges don't accept them, and generally no one even responds to it unless it gets so, they're burning down forests or cutting down forests trying to make the paperwork. The judges don't do anything. The judges just ignore it if it's considered frivolous. So to me, what this says is the judge looked at the motion, which explained that Britta's lawyer is trying to both be the represent the plaintiff and the
And
defendant.
said to herself, this is interesting. I don't want to hear this one.
Right. So
This is fun.
to me, the judge in the case is a woman,
Fun.
probably said, this is interesting. I wonder if this is accurate. So let's accept the motion. So that is very good news
Which,
because
once you accept the motion, then next comes the, do they have to respond to the motion? And you would think, well, if it's been accepted, you probably do, because now it's a part of the record and you can't just ignore it.
well, but this is Britta's attorney. She's a,
Well,
who ignored it the last
Britta
time.
will say it's okay. I was elected chair of the Republican Party, and so therefore the court does not matter. I get the rule here.
I've waved my magic wand,
Or the famous
and you don't
Britta
have to
wand.
disqualify yourself. Which is, I'm kind of curious as to why her attorney didn't point this out. I mean, you would think, again, as an attorney, if you're representing me and now you're suing me, you would say, Julie, you have to pick. I could be one or the
Yeah,
other.
you can't be both. You could be neither, but you can't be both.
Right. And that's a pretty easily resolved legal dilemma in generally,
Well,
isn't
not
it?
now.
No.
Not, I mean, the smart thing to do would be Clenda saying, "Oh, okay, I'll have this is another attorney unrelated to me who will do the
Mrs. Clenda.
Mrs. Clenda will be the party's attorney, and I'll be her attorney, and therefore we'll have it covered
Yeah,
that way."
Dr. Donna, this could be maybe the attorney is using AI to manage the
Yes,
case.
yeah,
No,
yes, brilliant.
her attorney, it's Steve Klenda, Klenda.
Yeah.
But anyway, the good news is, though, that she has tried desperately, and she sent out an email to all the state central committee members,
Yeah.
desperately to
Say, I'm
make.
sorry, this is my first communication to you as the unification one, but those bastards are
Those
doing this
bastards,
thing,
my
do
worst people.
that, and
That's right.
I'm gonna get them, and they're dismissed, and they're irrelevant. Thank you.
Thank you. Only that didn't work. So now we have the judge saying, this might be interesting.
This might be a
This
little.
might be
I want
interesting.
to see you. This person represents both the defendant and the plaintiff. It'll be fun for a nice hearing.
Again, this is, you'd think that, well, I sort of think one of the reasons they were so desperate to take power is that they also don't want people to know who was funding the coup attempt, who
Yes.
was funding the lawyers for the coup attempt. The dark money donors are saying, you need to make this go away, Britta,
Yeah.
right? Because if this goes forward, then people will get to depose people and people will get to say, well, who paid for your lawyers? Because remember, Britta and those guys, they filed the lawsuit against Anna and Dave and Hope saying they were what impersonating elected officials. It's
Right,
like, no, they
right.
weren't. They were the elected officials. But at any rate, so there's a, it's a mess there, but the good news is the effort to hold them accountable for the damage that they did to the party is at least still alive as we speak, right?
And the good part is, if you get a fundraising appeal from the Republican Party, at least you know where the money is going. It's
Yeah,
going to
to
this
Britta's attorney.
bizarre lawsuit down in El Paso County. Say, your money be well spent. Helping Ms. Horn try to get off the quote unquote horns of the dilemma.
You know that they're going to have the party pay for their legal fees here too, right?
Of course they
I
are.
mean, so they're going to,
To the extent it has any money, you bet.
so they're going to be. It's kind of like what the Democrats do with Tabor, where we use our tax dollars to sue over Tabor and protect the Senate. So this is going to be Britta Horn using the Colorado Republican Party money to sue herself, but then to defend herself
Yes.
and file all the motions between. So that's the update on that. It's good news. It's complicated, but we'll see. And I hope it does continue because I think what they did to the
Well, if
party,
they
the
can be
money.
both defendant and plaintiff, then it'll be fun. Because I mean,
What
what
did you say?
other thing?
You would get a.
Well, I can see Clinton going,
Have the
"Your
judge.
Honor, thank you for letting me both be the attorney for the plaintiff and for the defendant, but I have one other request. I would like to be the judge for this case, and so could you please get out of my way?" So I can really cover all my bases here.
True too.
Jury, well, we won't have a jury. Just
Well,
a three, me as three different positions will resolve all problems.
I mean, as you said, it's just a ludicrous thing. What if I, as the attorney for the defendant, I object, right?
Object.
And then I go sit over here and say, "Well, here's the reason that I don't object." And what is that Jack Nicholson movie? "I'm your sister, I'm your mother," or whatever, the fake Dunaway thing, right? It's like, "I'm your attorney, I'm not your attorney." It's just ludicrous. So anyway, there's that. Did you have anything else you wanted to? You're more on top of that than me.
Well, no one's on top of this, but if the case does go forward, it'll be great because you'll have Scott Gessler. They've got every major politics, Republican politics lawyer there are. I mean,
Except Randy.
except Randy, and maybe he'll be next. They're all there because not many of them do it. Because if you do it, then the Democrats get all their friends to endlessly harass you. But
Yeah,
it's going to be a fun case. Just keeping the docket will require a full-time person. Let's see, who's this motion for this attorney? Oh, I know this attorney. He's a plaintiff's attorney. No, then again, he's a defendant's attorney. So I'm calling both, or I don't know.
It's well, and again, it's sort of shows the unity party is not off to a very unifying start, even amongst themselves. Because as we mentioned, Christy Burton Brown said she's cool that the Anti-Corruption Committee wants
Yeah, I
to
don't
end her.
care.
I don't care
I don't
about
care. I
that.
don't know why, you know.
Another news. So Michael Bennett, and I want to get your take on this because you have worked with him a little bit, formally announced today he's going to run for governor. I think Phil Weiser is now going like, "What about me? I said it first." I don't know what he's going to, maybe he'll run for Senate. I don't know. But Michael Bennett, so he was a senator, and that's why all of a sudden he's putting out all kinds of social media stuff, and he care
Yeah.
and that's why he's been making all these weird speeches, I'm sure, in the
Yeah,
Senate.
all of a sudden, after 4 years or whatever it's been
Is he
of
alive,
him
you
being
think?
invisible, all
Yeah.
of a sudden you see him at committee meetings and everything else. Oh, hi.
And then putting
I was the invisible senator from Colorado, but
on.
now I'm back.
But why would he? The Senate is a pretty, people look at, that you make billions of dollars being a senator, even though you don't do anything and you have all of whatever. Why? And it's pretty easy. And I think he probably could be a senator till he dies, right?
Or at
That
least as long as
Mitch McConnell.
Mitch McConnell
So why do you think?
Feinstein.
Why do you think he decided to leave that kind of cushy thing? And granted, he'll probably win the governor's race, but it's 2 terms. I mean, why do you think he decided to do that?
This is a little secret for everybody. Being a U.S. senator is incredibly boring. You're one of X number of people. You don't actually debate in the Senate. I mean, they put some on C-SPAN, but there are no real debates that anybody's seen. So there's not a debating one. You don't really get to decide much. The leadership does. We're voting this way, we're voting that way. And you really don't. So all you do is maybe raise money for the time. Other than that, drink in some cases. In other cases, play golf or whatever. There's very little. It's a great lazy man's job. If there ever was a lazy man, and they need to have remote working for the Senate, so they all can be back in their home district, home state, or at least in Florida or something, and stay
Actually, I
longer.
mean, I'll give him credit then. So actually,
Well,
Mike.
that's exactly what Hickenlooper said. When he all of a sudden,
Oh, he was already governor, so we can't run again, huh? Or
yeah, they
maybe.
said, why don't you? Why do you want to be a senator? And he kind of,
Seems like the next career
well,
step.
no, but he had not. He first said he didn't want to be a senator because, he didn't do anything. And now, then he said, skip that. I need some job. So,
Show, I
Julie,
can't.
before
Yeah.
I add something here,
I feel like this commie takeover is a generational thing. So I was looking up Michael Bennett's bio, and his father was Douglas Bennett. He served as an aide to Chester Bowles, then the U.S. ambassador to India. Then he ran the United States Agency for International Development under Carter. And he served as president and the CEO of National Public Radio and as assistant director of state for international organizational affairs in the Clinton administration. His grandfather was economic advisor in the Franklin Roosevelt administration. Bennett grew up in D.C. His father served as an aide to Hubert Humphrey, among other politicians. And then he spent 2 years in Wyoming, and he and his fiance just happened to move to Colorado to get into politics. So, you know, I just
Well,
feel
his
like
brother was the head of the editorial page
for
of
the
the
New
New
York
York
Times.
Times.
There's a Boasberg connection, a Judge Boasberg connection too, which I forget what that is. But
Okay.
yeah, no, you're right, Charlene. I mean, he's got,
Super connected.
yeah, he's like super connected.
And worked for Anschutz and made millions as an Anschutz aide.
Yes, he worked for Anschutz for 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the kicker. That was on another post that I didn't look see right away. But, you know, I read, I like Emeril Robinson on Twitter. And she said, you don't have to wonder what happened during the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917 because you're living through it right now. Traitors have burrowed into the federal government and are attempting to destroy our republic while pretending to be its protectors.
Exactly. You know, and you like this, Charlene. Leo is writing, who needs Wikipedia? We have our Charlene. Oh, yeah. I mean, Michael Bennett is, I mean, I think if we think Jared Polis is bad, I have a feeling Michael Bennett would be even more progressive, right? I mean,
back east and they just find their way to Colorado, don't they?
Well, you have to understand how he fell into politics. So he made his millions doing mergers and acquisitions for Anschutz, right?
Yes.
Then decides to get out of there with his millions and buys a big mansion on 7th Avenue. He's kind of bored. He's got a friend who owns a bar. And the
Oh, yeah.
and the guy says, I'm going to run for mayor. And they kind of go, you? He goes, yeah, I'm going to run for mayor. He said, I can't possibly win. It'd be fun. So I said, okay, I'll be your campaign manager. And then the leading candidate, who is a shoo-in, gets caught up in a scandal. He was a former police chief of police. And all of a sudden, he went from being nobody with no chance to win to getting endorsement of the Denver Post. I mean, he was all of a
back when
sudden,
that kind of mattered.
Back when that mattered. And so all of a sudden, boom, Hickenlooper's off, his chief staff. And I worked a lot with him when I was in Glendale on a merger of fire departments and other things. And I liked the guy, very bright, very good sense of humor and lots of other things. I'm not supposed to say that since he's a Democrat, but I really did enjoy him.
Well, yeah, right. He is. He is. You got to give him that.
Yeah. But like, yeah. So, but then so the guy becomes mayor, he becomes chief of staff for the mayor. Then the mayor said, okay, we need somebody to head up all the schools. I don't know. I'll have this guy over here, my chief of staff. So all of a sudden he's the head of Denver schools. And then somebody drops out and he's appointed to be a U.S. Senator. I mean, he's just gone everywhere. I mean, now he's.
And now he's going to be governor. Well, yeah. And you're right though, Charlene. I mean, the good news is, like you said, somebody was pointing out, who are the guys, was this Jeff Hunt was maybe pointing out. So we've got, you know, John Hickenlooper, Colorado's diversity, right? John Hickenlooper, Michael Bennett, Phil Weiser, all of these Ivy League educated
rich white guys
are turning us into a Marxist state, you know?
Yeah. Well, don't they have NED for everybody, DEI.
Parents were both New York attorneys, you know,
yeah.
And both his mother and father. But can I just say one more thing? I don't want to take it much time, but I just finished watching 1923, you know, on Paramount. I don't know if you know or not, but Colorado is what happened in 1923 when the bad guys won. See, in 1923, the bad guys didn't win in Wyoming. You know, they kept the cattle ranching and all that. But they were fighting the developers and the oil barons and all this stuff. And so when I look at Colorado, I think they're kind of the epicenter. They're kind of what happened when the bad guys won, because there's just so much corruption.
Yep.
Anyway.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for that.
Have a good weekend, Charlene.
Michael Bennett, and you know he's going to have all the money in the universe he needs.
Oh.
And here's something else that's kind of interesting. I'm assuming he's still probably connected to Phil Anschutz. So Phil Anschutz may not jump in too much into, you know, who's the main Republican donor. He didn't help Heidi Gnaw, right? And
well, he's not. I mean,
because
the one thing Bennett knows is he can call him. He can call Bennett up and say, what are you doing to me? You know, oh, I'm sorry, boss.
Yeah, and he knows maybe a lot of the Anschutz secrets too. So, yeah.
Yes, exactly. All right. Thank you, Charlene. But I hadn't even thought, I mean, that just occurred to me too with my, because I'd forgotten about the Anschutz ties. Because remember way back, and this is where we knew the Anschutz media industrial complex and Colorado Peak politics, when Polis was first elected, said, well, Polis is a businessman.
We can work with
We
it.
can work with
And they
Polis.
have.
And they have, exactly. And I think now you've got Michael Bennett, who has connections to Anschutz, is going to run for governor. And I think that that will severely impact negatively the amount of money that somebody puts into the Republican governor's
Well, there's
race.
always billions
But like
that
the
are,
yes.
they get outraised every election by sometimes 20 to 1.
Unity Party are there to help us with all
They'll
of
get them
that.
all elected with
Yeah,
their
they'll
unity
get them.
tour.
Yeah, with the yeah. Yeah, but they won't get any pizza. One other thing too I wanted to talk about, and this is kind of it, and I haven't seen how this is resolved. So again, you got to watch when you listen to the liberal media because they spin stuff no matter what it is. So Trump loses, the American economy is collapsing, et cetera, et cetera. So the Supreme Court issued, that the criminal illegal alien that they deported to El Salvador, and then Judge Boberg said, oh no, you got to bring him back. You can't do this. Turn the plane around in mid-flight, right? And the Trump's like, oh well, he's already in El Salvadorian jail. And then it was appealed up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court handed out a ruling, I think last night or yesterday, I guess not at night, saying that the Trump administration, this way I understand it, had to facilitate figuring out how to bring this guy back. And I think what the court was saying was you can't just deport somebody like that, that there is some sort of due
Due process.
process that has to be held. Now, the mainstream media is pointing all that out, oh, Trump loses, Trump loses. And the judge told the Trump administration, you have to be at my office in my courtroom at 9:30 this morning explaining to me exactly what you're doing and the steps you're taking. And Trump said, no, we don't. And the judge said, all right, well, 11:30 then. And the Trump administration said, last I heard, they hadn't really responded to that in court. But what they did say that's interesting, and this clarifies the Supreme Court ruling, okay? They noted that the Supreme Court asked the judge to clarify its directive with due regard for the deference owed to the executive branch in the conduct of foreign affairs. So what the judge, what I think the Supreme Court said back to Boasberg, and the liberal media won't tell you this, it's like, you need to figure out and explain and clarify why you think you can tell the
Well, in
executive branch to
particular,
do
saying
this.
the judge shop for a DC district judge, because they're almost all pretty left wing. And the court said, you also tell us why it's the habeas corpus one comes before you in Washington, D.C. instead of Texas.
Right. And so, and then, and then the Trump administration said, what someone, a columnist, was putting it, they told them to pound sand. They told the judge to pound sand. They didn't actually, but they did say, look, foreign affairs cannot operate on judicial timelines. And because it involves foreign affairs, it is wholly inappropriate for you to be reviewing it in the first place. So it's kind of like they did sort of tell them to pound sand. So don't buy, I guess my main point here too is don't buy the liberal media spin that Trump lost this one. Trump didn't. Well, I mean, he lost one and he didn't. My take on this, again, I'm not a lawyer, but I talked to
I
them.
play one on podcasts.
On TV. Is this is the Supreme Court telling the Trump administration, because it was a unanimous opinion, I guess, saying, hey, look, you can't just deport somebody like that. You had to have had whatever hearing. But they're also telling the judge, you need to explain why you have anything to say about this. So that's in its own way, I don't want to say good news, but just don't buy the main spin. On Monday, because we're kind of wrapping up here, we're going to be talking to Todd Sheets. He's going to talk about tariffs a little bit. I mean, there's so much happening with that. But I don't know if you noticed, but the economy has not collapsed. Wall Street's up, down, which is typical Wall Street,
Well,
right?
it's back up a little bit.
Yes. And I think the thing is sometimes you got to pay attention. If it's bad for Wall Street,
Is it
maybe
good for America?
it's a good for Main Street, where we all live. So we'll be talking to him about all of that on Monday.
That's wonderful. And we will be
Well,
watching the math. Oh, what?
what? Did Jacob, was that you? Did somebody want to weigh in real quick? No? All right. Speak once, speak twice, or forever hold your peace. Yeah, Chuck will be now. We're going to retire to Masters watching.
Master's watching.
Masters watching. All right, everybody, have a great
Take
weekend.
care.
Thank you to Wes. Thank you to Thomas and all the great guys at BBS, and we will see you Monday.
Bye-bye.